Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm still talking a little weird, but I have teeth this time. Aki wait, and Jacob are here. Yes, I have teeth.
Oh, wait. Is it the teeth that you had last week, or are these the dentures?
These are dentures. They didn't just put them back in.
Well, no, wait, they what?
I said they wouldn't just put them back in.
No. I thought you had like six teeth left in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so you weren't gumming everything. Like, you still had some teeth.
Not like, really. Like, nothing that matters.
There's very little for popcorn kernels to latch onto with only six teeth.
Exactly. I was going to do some introductions, but Steve-O's here. Welcome back, Steve-O. How are you doing?
Tired, but mostly good. Been having a good week. Thank you for having me on, Joe. It's been a bit since I've been here.
It has been. It's been way too long.
This is the last time you had a specific vein of titty game that needed reviewing.
Titty game? What?
Titty game. Yeah.
Titty game. And then to class up the joint, Jacob, you brought company.
I did. My wife
Wait,
is here.
How am I not classy? What? Hold on.
I mean, you just talked about the titty game, so...
Yeah,
that automatically removes class. Your class. I'm sorry.
The epitome of class. I it's take a my specific fan class. Service pinky up, good person.
Jacob, yeah. Introduce your wife, damn it.
I did.
No, you didn't. You're just like, it's my wife. And then we started talking, and then you stopped.
I'm just wife. There is no name.
Hi, wife. How are you?
Just wife.
How are you contractually obligated?
This is my wife, Jess. Aki, do your best not to hit on her.
No promises.
Hey,
no promises.
Hey, maybe I want that, you know?
She's now our wife.
I thought this was Hollywood Squares, not 90210.
I love the drama. Love it.
So how is everyone? How is everybody's week?
Busy. Very busy. I've been playing games and a lot of games. So many games.
There are a lot of games.
Which applications still work on Windows XP. Because really? I'm rebuilding my college computer to play games from 2005.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Wow.
So like, you know, right now you've got a branch of retro gamer that's like pre even like PC stuff. And then you've got a lot of people focusing on the DOS era. Not a lot of people focus on like Windows XP, and that's rapidly becoming like a minority. But I can still connect to IRC and I can still side hack my way into Discord. So I'm making it work.
Oh, God. What game are you like aiming to play from that era? Oh,
it's just the overall experience. The
Minesweeper.
You can do that on Windows 3.1.
The first time, like last week, so I'm very excited about this. No, just like the original Call of Duty on PC disc. The original Halo port only works on XP. Like, there's a lot of software from my. Like the height of my participation in gaming that only really works on Windows XP.
You can play the original Call of Duty on Xbox.
Yeah, and, I use a keyboard and mouse.
And you know, if you really wanted to play the original Halo, you could just get the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
For your newer system, and not only have the first one, but have literally all of them.
Oh, I have the Master Chief Collection.
Why the fuck are you playing the original?
But that's not the same as playing the original super jank. You turn on anti-aliasing and it turns hallucinogenic. Like,
if Chris Taylor were here, he'd be on your side, Steve-O.
Of course he would be.
Literally no one else is, though. Just
he and I were the creators of Hidden Sound Test on Facebook.
Guys, I need to play games in the least efficient way possible. Come on.
And also communicate and listen to music. I've started rebuilding my Winamp library. That's
fuck yeah, Winamp. I use Winamp every day.
What the fuck is...
Did someone just ask, what is Winamp?
Oh, no.
I was going to, and then I stopped.
Do you really not know what Winamp is?
No.
It really whips the llama's ass.
I'm sorry, it what, Joe?
It whips the llama's ass.
Okay, then.
Yes.
You knew what you were getting into when you invited me on here, man. I have no apologies.
Jess, how was your week?
I spend it mostly with a 4-year-old tyrant who simultaneously loves me and likes to yell at me a lot. So, you know.
Okay, but what about not Jacob?
Well, I'm 37. You know. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but you're mentally
37
four,
so is a kind of 4.
I mean, 7 minus 3 is 4.
We got it. Half-Life 4 confirmed.
Doing math. Yeah, so 4-year-old. There's a lot of that. Nice. Sorry to hear it.
She's been watching a lot of Secret Life of Pets 2 this week.
Oh, God. So many times.
My child is currently obsessed with Shaun the Sheep, so we're in a good phase right now because...
Oh, yeah, that's a great show.
It's still quality claymation, and he's 22 months now, and he just, he loves it. I dread the day that he starts getting into stuff like Paw Patrol, because at that point, I'm going to have to invest in a much better set of discreet Bluetooth earplugs.
Yes, yes, it's necessary. Sanity saving, I can guarantee it.
Yeah. Steve O'Carnage is asking if you are joining via the power of a 14.4 modem.
Oh, man.
Are you on dial-up right now?
For XP, he'd be on a 56K at that point.
No, I am. True story, I convinced my family in 2001 to be the first in our neighborhood to get the 8 megabits per second download Comcast broadband.
Wow.
Switch from AOL to that. And I did it specifically because there was a peer-to-peer file sharing service named Scour where we could download full movies. And the day they installed it, that peer-to-peer service shut down.
Oh, God.
Of course.
And now, all these years later, Comcast has almost doubled their speed.
Yo, I know I'm in the minority here, but I'm like legit the only person who's never had an issue with Comcast. Like,
we found the one person.
Yeah, like my internet speeds have always been great with Comcast. Whenever I call up customer service, they're always efficient. When I've had to shut off service, they're like, oh, yeah, that's not a problem. Like, really, yeah, I don't know. I've never had an issue with them.
Your and time just, will be soon.
I've told Jess at this point, after the last place we lived where we were paying $100 a month for literally like 10 megabytes a second. And like the guy on the guy who's doing IT work is like trying to tell me, well, yeah, it's not going to be the advertised speeds. And I'm like, motherfucker, I work in IT. No fucking shit. But like, this is ridiculous. Like, and so at this point, I've told Jess, like, if we ever move again, like the only place we're allowed to live is where Comcast is.
Yeah, we have to have Comcast.
This is a bizarro world, hearing somebody say we can only live where Comcast is. I'm not comfortable with this.
I don't trust any of the other motherfuckers in the game.
Oh my God.
I'll say, when we lived up in Sawyersville, Comcast was pretty solid for us. It was when we moved to Berwick and we're dealing with they were Broadband Atlantic, but they changed their name again. So I don't know what the fuck they are, but they suck. I don't even know who you are anymore. Shut up, Jacob. I'm doing my best.
Is this the new definition of middle age, having discussions and disagreements about broadband providers?
I was yelling at people on... Yeah, I was yelling at people out. Take my teeth out and throw them at you. Goddamn kids.
The SML podcast coming to you from Baltimore's Laugh Factory. Tune in this Thursday. Be sure to tip your waitress.
Oh, shit. Well, is there anything else anyone wanted to talk about, or should we get to news?
So, Joe, now that you have less teeth, do they still call you Pecker Wrecker or no?
No.
Oh, boy.
I'm Gummy J now.
Gummy J.
Isn't that one of them Punch-Out villains?
I think so. I know Gabby J.
Gummy J.
Gabby J.
He gives the softest BJs this side of the East Coast.
Oh, no.
Jacob has experience giving sloppy BJs.
No, I said softest, not sloppiest.
Back in the gold rush,
Stumpy Joe's thumb
sucked the ball way up and down the Mississippi. Oh,
God. Up and down the Mississippi.
This is the Tom Sawyer we didn't know we needed.
With less racism. Oh, my God. With no racism, because we're not racist. But we have news to talk about. Should we get to the news?
Shut up, white boy.
This just in, one of the hosts of the SML podcast is racist.
Jacob's getting canceled.
And one of our guests sounds like Pee Wee Herman. What should be the word of the day? Gameplay. All right.
Depository.
Depository.
No, it's depository.
Suppository.
Where are the days, Xbox?
I was about to say, how are we going to fit that into this conversation? But I know how we all fit suppositories in.
Sideways? You can just throw them down.
So, Jess, do you regret this yet or what?
She hung up. She's like, I'm out.
I ran away.
No. That's a lie.
Right,
go,
I can see the
go,
news now.
All right. We do have news to talk about. PlayStation Plus games for May were announced. They are getting FIFA 22 for PS4 and PS5, Tribes of Midgard for PS4 and PS5, and Curse of the Dead Gods for PS4.
Okay, so you got two actual games there and one privilege to spend $200 on DLC and microtransactions.
Yeah, get your FIFA on.
Only 200? Really? There are people who have spent over 10,000 in this.
I am fully aware. I'm going for the hopeful average. I don't want to know what the actual average is.
The actual average typically is high. That it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Game FIFA just shouldn't fucking exist. That is, it's why? So disgusting.
It's going to be a big month for PlayStation, though. Like, a lot of people are big on FIFA, so.
Why should FIFA not exist?
Because she doesn't like it.
Well, there's that, too. And the fact that it is made specifically to make them money by gambling. That is literally all that fucking game ends up being.
That's what Halo turned into.
But it's not like it always was like that.
When was it not like that? I don't think I've known it before it was like that.
That's what shooters are now, too, with fucking battle passes and everything is, they're businesses and they're designed to make money. Crazy.
What?
Yeah, fucked up.
There's a limit to that to me, and some of these places are passing it. That's why I play almost every game I play ends up being a fucking indie game. That's why. It's not money.
Speaking of, I've poured 138 hours into Vampire Survivors lately. How have you all been?
Oh, geez. That's a lot of time.
I'm now kind of curious how much time I've spent in Hot Wheels Unleashed.
I love Hot Wheels Unleashed so much.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
So, like, outside of Forza and Burnout, because Burnout is dead, Hot Wheels Unleashed is probably my second favorite new racing game.
Yeah, it was tied for Game of the Year for me.
The presentation, the music, like, I'm just glad that they got rid of the super annoying pitch change whenever you hit, like, Super Boost. Just, such a good game.
They make it so the songs don't change during the courses, because that irritated the shit out. I said, yeah, they change it so they don't, because that irritates the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah. No, they still change.
That's stupid.
No, it doesn't change for me.
Yeah, it does. It does for, like...
Like a song stops and then there's radio static and then another one starts. Yeah. I hate that shit.
Yeah, because if you get out of range, it will switch.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, more PlayStation Plus news. The new PlayStation Plus is going to be launching June 13th. Current PS Plus subscribers will convert to the low-end essential tier, and then if you want to upgrade, you got to shell out the ducats.
Low-end fucking peon tier. Wait,
actual ducats?
No, ducks. What
about a pound of flesh?
Ducats. Just ducks. Just ducks. No ducats?
Just ducks.
Yes, what's actual live ducks.
I'm not as old as you people.
It's Ducat.
No. That's the guy from Star Trek.
Oh, God.
My head hurts now.
Good.
Oh, God.
Microsoft announced that the Xbox and Bethesda showcase will happen June 10th at 1 p.m. Eastern and last about 90 minutes.
Yeah, people are already trying to figure out, like, what exactly is going to get shown a lot. Like, everyone thinks Starfield?
Mm-hmm.
They think that's going to get shown off, and, like, people think it's, like, a 50-50 chance of getting to see footage of the new Indiana Jones game. Maybe. Which is what I'm really hoping for.
I'm not even going to attempt it, because they're going to announce all that shit when it shows, and that's when I'll figure out what's on it, because I don't understand why people are trying to figure out early. They're going to fucking
tell
you.
So you're
going to
figure out what's on it after it's already aired?
Exactly.
Oh my God. You are the best psychic.
I'm going to make my predictions after it's over.
Yep.
Promise I didn't look.
100% right. See, I am great.
Oh no, Shih Tzu on you said they left their PS Plus auto renew at full price. Ew.
That sucks.
Well, I speaking personally, I haven't been part of PlayStation Plus since they killed the Vita.
Really?
Yes, really. That's where Sony lost me. I don't have a PS4 and I don't have a PS5.
Well, that makes sense then. No need to have Plus if you don't have the systems.
I don't know, I can get by so much with just Steam and GOG.
Yeah.
Steam, the greatest.
I wouldn't GOG say that.
Becoming great.
Anyway, Activision Blizzard stockholders have approved the proposed Microsoft acquisition, which means there's only about 5 million more hoops to jump through. More than 98% of shareholders voted in favor of the transaction. I'm guessing the other 2% owned a PlayStation.
Shareholders, do you like money? Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Get your phones ready. Diablo Immortal is releasing June 2nd on iOS and Android. Oh, and there's an open beta on PC, so you didn't need a phone after all.
No, oh, boy.
It's a phone boy. Game.
Nobody asked care. For.
Speaking of games no one asked for, Disney Speedstorm was announced by Gameloft.
That thing's been announced for a while.
And well, it's coming to Xbox, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC.
Are you
I'm guessing that's a racing game?
Yeah, it's they've been talking about that for a while. It's the latest reveal was characters from Jungle Book.
Well, I'm saying it's been confirmed for the other platforms. Before it was only confirmed for Switch only. Now it's confirmed for everything.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I'm sworn that they had said that too. But I was wondering if you're thinking about the other Disney game that they announced.
No, that fucking
the Sims game.
Star Valley or something, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't forget.
Hidden
know.
Valley Ranch, something.
It's supposed to be aimed at adults.
Joe, which, it has been a while since we've eaten at CC's, hasn't it?
It has. You need to get together.
For CC's?
Yeah.
That is a sentence nobody has ever heard.
Thank you. Somebody else who appreciates the subtlety of sub-bowling alley pizza.
Dude, CC's pizza was the best. I used to go and get that every birthday. All you can eat pizza? Hell yeah.
Seriously. Like that. That's exactly what I'm thinking. That's why me and Joe meet up at CC's.
Yeah.
See, sadly, that place closed where I live, so I haven't been there in...
I commute like 2.5 hours just to spend 30 minutes eating pizza with Joe.
Same.
You drive 30 minutes to eat pizza with yourself, Joe?
No, I drive like 2 hours to meet up with him to eat Cece's.
For 30
or
minutes.
Or as Dale North minutes. Called it, feces pizza.
I was going to say, it actually sounded like he just said feces.
Yeah.
Well, I have made the joke everybody Jesus. Else makes about Cece's.
Like, seriously, though, I've had CC's all of once in my life, and I'm good.
That's fine.
That's on you.
CC's.
That is, it's delicious. Nah, if I want to get diarrhea from my local pizza place, then, you know, Pizza Hut is where it's at.
Yeah, but they don't have macaroni and cheese pizza.
Well, Pizza Hut almost killed me twice, so.
How did it almost kill you twice?
I have a condition where I get extremely low potassium with an excessive amount of sodium. So the prazone sent me into a hypopotassious state. Ended up in the hospital with heart attack like symptoms.
So yeah, why did you have another?
Like that.
It wasn't confirmed until the second that it was the Pizza Hut that did it.
So wait, so hold on, let me get this straight. So because of the extreme amount of salt that was in it, it sent your potassium levels down?
Yes, for whatever reason during that.
All right. So hold on. So next question. So if you just sat there at Pizza Hut with a bushel full of bananas, would
you be okay? You'd be surprised how I got out of it the second time was I told somebody to give me 3 bananas.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
All right.
No, for real. They helped. Thank you, radioactive fruit. Oh,
Disney Dreamlight Valley is next coming question. In early hold on, access.
I have questions for our guests. So next question.
I'm just reading chat. Eat me.
So have you done the bananas and the Sprite challenge?
Ew.
What? Is this like a Tide Pod thing or...
It should be. That sounds disgusting.
So you eat bananas, and then you drink Sprite, and it makes you throw up.
Why?
Whatever the chemical reaction is.
Who figured that out, and why?
And then who repeated it to confirm it?
No. It is a real thing because they ended up doing it on Tosh.0.
Shocking.
That doesn't.
I could have sworn I had a banana around some Sprite at some point and not throw it up. I could have sworn.
Oh, I know I have. Sprite's my favorite soft drink.
But are you sure you had a banana with
okay, you and I would get along great. Let's meet at CC's and enjoy our whole soda.
Yeah, Joe, it had to be a banana. There's nothing like that's like a cylinder that Elsa needs.
I mean, burritos exist, but other than that, no, not really.
Anyways, yes, I lived.
Did you?
Oh, I mean, what happened? That was kind of obvious, but okay.
What happened that you lived?
The potassium. The
bananas.
Bananas.
He blew some bananas and lived. Okay.
Yeah, yep, yeah. What's else on the news? Jesus.
Sega is delisting pretty much every version of Sonic 1, 2, and 3, as well as CD, ahead of the Sonic Origins release.
And Sonic and Knuckles.
Okay, which further pissing off everybody just a little more, but yeah, they're removing all the classic Sonics.
It's all right. I still got my Windows 3.1 disc version.
Yo, I have that. I have it's Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles for Windows PC.
Yeah, and it doesn't work because the CPU is too fast. You run out of time the instant the game starts.
Oh, I didn't realize it did it for you. Okay.
No, it's for like Pentium 33. And it's also MIDI music, and it sounds particularly terrible.
See, I have all the stuff for the old Sega Genesis, but...
Yep.
All right, so here's my thing. All right, it's just like, is it annoying that Sega is getting rid of it?
Yes.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, first off, it's not like they're never going to make it available. There's this collection, but also...
This overpriced collection.
All right, first off, shush. All right.
No.
Thing, and I'm going to make you... I'm gonna
you
make
don't shush feel, me.
You shush.
Just kick him out of the call.
Shut up, Aki.
I could.
All right. So anyway, here's the thing, and I'm going to make you feel really old all of a sudden.
You are
These
old.
Games have been available on Xbox 360 for like 16 years now.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You've had like...
Oh my God, can the Xbox 360 drive? Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
Like, these games have been on there for like 16 years. If you haven't gotten them by now... Because they're on sale like almost every month,
yeah.
Like for $4 a pop.
Yeah.
Like
if no matter how much you tempt me, Sega, I'll never buy Sonic 4 Episode 2.
I still have yet to get I still haven't gotten Sonic 4.
I've only played up to Sonic and Knuckles.
It's all right. You got the good ones.
Sonic and Knuckles. That's it.
You got the good
any
ones.
Of them after that.
Just don't admit any of the other ones exist.
Okay, that works. Because I know they did 3D stuff, and all those look like shit.
I heard the werewolf one is okay, but like I never played
Wait, what?
It.
I really want to do the werewolf one just on the premise alone.
Because
I mean, it's a werewolf.
The Dulcim arms.
What the
what?
Fuck?
What?
Yeah, the werehog that has extendable bendy arms.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't played it. But like,
I mean, I have no idea what you guys are fucking talking about.
You need to go look at this. It's amazing.
Sonic
Unleashed. It's Unleashed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Sonic Unleashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that came out after the Sonic that nobody talks about.
Yeah, Sonic 2006.
Not shall be named. Yeah. Is that the one where Sonic made out with a human or something? Yeah, okay.
All right, so weird tangent, but I shit you not. You know how impressive like modern emulation is, right? You can do PlayStation 3 emulation. There's an Xbox 360 emulator out there. Xbox 360 one's a little rough around the edges. I've only found
there's
one
PS3 emulation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't heard of PS3 emulation.
Oh yeah, RPCS3 can load almost every PlayStation 3 game now.
Then what the fuck is stopping Sony?
Because Sony doesn't like money.
Oh, the PS3 was very technically difficult to program for.
They'd rather Deep Six the whole entire company than actually, you know, make some money.
Idiots.
Anyways, the only game I found that works absolutely perfectly on the Xbox 360 emulator is Sonic. Sex.
That sucks. So, Steve-O, how's it like being in hell?
I didn't say I was playing it. I said I knew it was the only one that worked perfectly. Trust me, I've gone through my paces already. I streamed doing 60% of that game, and that was 60% too much.
God.
Right next door, you'll find Hell's Blockbuster, which only has copies of Ishtar and Ballistic X versus Sever.
Haha, you fucked up your joke. You
know, if I can find
you don't have any teeth.
Knock off.
I have sex.
You have sex? Well, I'm glad for you.
I wish. I fucking wish. I'm married. That never happened.
Steve-O hears with a single tear running down his cheek.
Anyway, Thimber was saying that Disney Dreamlight Valley is coming in early access to Game Pass later this year in anticipation of a full 2023 release. So there you go.
Because in case, you know, all those creepy adults who have to be at Disney like multiple times a year wasn't already enough, now you get to put up with them online.
Yay. Mm. More Game Pass news. Calypso Media announced that their upcoming game, Matchpoint Tennis Championships, will launch on Game Pass.
Yay!
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Buddy. And then
tennis games are kind of cool.
And then this War of Mine Final Cut is getting a May 10th release date on Series X and S and PS5, and it will be on Game Pass.
Cool. Thank you, bananas.
Yeah, and then
here I did a game jam this weekend. It will be available on Game Pass.
That would be great. Digirati is getting in on the fun because they have 3 games on Game Pass, and if you don't have Game Pass, they just released a Digirati Presents If You Don't Have Game Pass bundle. It's $30 on sale for $24, and it gets you Non-Guns, Signs of the Sojourner, and Procession to Calvary.
Sojourner looked like it could be decent.
Yeah, and I heard Procession to Calvary is hilarious. I keep meaning to play it.
Oh, and then Thimber says NBA 2K22 just dropped on Game Pass out of nowhere.
Yep.
So, more Game Pass!
Which I'm not, makes I'm sense not drinking for Game Pass. This is not a game we'll be playing.
Yeah, but like, if you're a Microsoft points whore, then there is one tied into getting one achievement in the game.
Yay! He's going to play basketball for 250 reward points.
No.
Jacob's going to play basketball for 250 reward points.
Man. Yeah. I fucking reviewed the game, remember? It was essentially me being like, yeah, I haven't played a basketball game before. I wasn't the right person to review it.
Happens a lot on the show. Jacob, what news do you have?
Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie watch.
Oh, God.
I hate you.
Is unfortunately postponed because there is no more news.
Thank fuck.
Super Mario Brother 2 or Super Mario Brothers movie watch.
Wait, what?
Is now in its stead because there is news about that. And I know it's going to irritate the shit out of Aki.
Wait a minute. So, I also have extreme feelings about the Super Mario Brothers movie. Do I need to brace myself?
Oh, dear.
All right. So, in case you weren't already aware of this movie, it's being made by Illumination, who brought us like Despicable Me, Secret Life of Pets,
Are they including Bowsette in it? That's all I care about.
I doubt it.
Then I don't give a fuck. No. I'm sorry. You probably won't be able to masturbate to this, Aki. I mean, you could try.
I mean, there's still going to be a Princess Peach in it, I'm sure. Well, I can manage. I will find a way.
And Mario is being voiced by Chris Pratt.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all.
Well, I mean, I'm informing Steve-O as well. In case
I'm aware.
So, I think everyone knew about that.
Fortunately.
All right. Well, anyway, so Miyamoto actually went up on Twitter and said, hey, I talked to Chris-san, which, of course, a bunch of us were like, oh, my God, did he mean Chris-chan? That would be hilarious. But anyway, Chris-san, who is the director, and they've decided to move the movie back to March 2023.
Happy birthday to me. For undisclosed
reasons.
So why did they move it back, and why did he have to talk to an actor? Undisclosed reasons,
but everyone thinks it has to do with how well Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is done. Like, because it's still killing at the box office, and it actually beat the shit out of the latest Fantastic Beasts movie.
Didn't it make like $300 million already?
Even a thing.
It's made a stupid amount of money. Yeah.
Nice. Like, all right. What other news?
I don't.
You're helpful. Yeah. Aki, any news?
Yeah. Of course not. I'm here for reviews.
Steve-O, any news you got?
I am also here for reviews.
Jess?
You haven't talked much.
I'm just here.
You're here to talk about cats.
I'm just here. Yes, cats. I mean, it's cats. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that.
Oh, the Dragon Age 4 QA devs are unionizing.
Nice. Yay, cool. Unions.
And Sony PlayStation has started up a games preservation department because they realize that all their old games are going to rot.
Oh, good. Another job for Frank Cifaldi. No, seriously, I appreciate any company taking efforts for preservation. I know, wasn't Namco, or it was some, no, it was Square. They just uploaded like their entire musical catalog to YouTube, like in a really nice format for everybody. So that,
really?
Yeah, and I wholeheartedly applaud any company taking steps in the direction of preserving its past by doing things like establishing game preservation departments and publishing stuff on, like, you know, archive if they can do it. It's amazing what's been going on lately. So,
yeah,
hell yeah.
I was going to say, like, University of Austin down in Texas, they have Origin Systems, like all of their stuff. And the fine folks over at the Wing Commander CIC have regularly helped them get like the systems and the technology needed to like find out what's on some of these discs and shit like that, because it's like all these like obscure old, you know, like whatever programming things that they used back in the late 80s, early 90s that nobody has anymore. They've been able to help them find out like what's on the files and stuff like that. And in turn, it's actually helped the Wing Commander community because they've been finding like all sorts of like cut shit from the games.
See, this is awesome. So I distilled down my historical archivism by saying my music teacher from high school eventually gave me his grandfather's reel-to-reel pornography, and it is my job to see it preserved.
Fucking what? Damn right. Save the porn.
Well, hey, I mean, if we're going to talk about that, I've got a year of Playboy magazine on microfilm.
That's great.
Interesting.
No,
the library. The library I used to work with, one time, one of the students was looking up some health journal, and it's like a reel from like, it's supposed to be from like 1978 or something like that. And nobody had ever bothered to look at the microfilm reel. They were just like, oh yeah, okay, we have it. Like, great. We're just going to put it on the shelf. And some student went up to the reference desk, was like, yeah, so I went to like look at this to get like a neurology article or whatever, and it's not neurology.
I got hit with 70s and, like, Bush.
And like, and so like they took a look at it, they're like, huh, this is an entire year of Playboy. And so nice. The guy who used to handle cereals gave it to me because I thought it was hilarious, and they were just going to throw it away anyway.
I know you meant cereals and like cereal novels, but I'm just thinking like Fruit Loops and Cap'n Crunch. That's exactly what I for the library.
I want to make sure I remember that for the library. I'd be like, I actually work with cereals, not Fruit Loops. Yeah.
Ah, shit. Well, should we get to reviews?
Hold on. Sure. I do have one last news.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. What?
So, with the Russia-Ukraine thing still going on, Russia tried doing a false flag saying, like, oh, yeah, we captured a bunch of Ukrainian neo-Nazis who were going to cause problems here in Russia. And, like, so they showed off all this supposed contraband. And in said contraband were three copies of The Sims 3. Most likely because somebody, like, when they were giving the list of, like, all right, we need you to gather up all this stuff for the presentation, they probably meant SIM cards. And whoever took the order actually got, like, copies of The Sims. And so they're just, like, you see, like, Nazi swastika paraphernalia, like, drugs, guns, like, pamphlets, and three copies of The Sims.
Wow.
Yep.
I would All say right. I'm surprised by the incompetence, but I'm really not. No.
All right, so let's get to reviews. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because I'm old and tired.
Okay, first game to talk about tonight is Neptunia Cross Senran Kagura Ninja Wars, developed by Idea Factory, Compileheart, and Tamsoft, published by Idea Factory International, released April 19th on the Switch for $49.99, coming to Steam May 11th. Neptunia and Senran Kagura join forces in this hack-and-slash RPG, pair up to 10 playable characters to slice through enemy hordes, channel the elements, and perform special character attacks, then find your center with the Peaches and Cream meditation minigame before taking on the post-game challenges of Yomi training. Steve-O, you are our Kagura.
I have a question immediately.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
Have you played any of the other Neptunia games?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay, is it like any of the rest of them?
Yes.
Okay, I want it then. That's all I needed to know.
No. I actually, I'm much more of a Senran fan than a Neptunia fan, but I am a Neptunia fan, so I have all the...
I am so sorry you have bad taste.
You know what? I'm friends with Joe. What does that say?
Yeah, that's proof.
Fair enough.
So
to be fair, you're all on this fucking show. So what does that say for any of you?
Hey, I'm here for free games. Thank you very much.
Just going to come right out and say it then, huh?
Yeah.
Fair.
All right. Well, I wrote this entire thing out. This is probably as close to a professional review as I've ever gotten, Joe. So,
ooh, panty.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I wouldn't you, rely Joe, on just reading it off because that's not good. That never ends well. I know. I used to do the same thing. Don't trust that to go well. You just
I'm not trusting it to go well. This is a guiding phrase. We're 40 minutes in and we talked about gaming news involving SIM cards
and porn.
I mean, that was actually and amusing porn. So
yeah,
well,
yeah.
We have to talk about porn. That
yeah,
Steve-O could talk about porn forever.
I do my podcast. We read terrible, mostly erotic fan fiction and turn it into a drinking game and make fun of it.
Yes. I'm not sure whether I want
to. We'll have to talk about that after the review.
It's lovely. So
we'll get to that after the review. Let's do the review first. And then you can talk about the, because I did the intro. So the devs are like, oh God, what are they going to talk about? So let's do the review first. And then we'll talk about your podcast and hype it up because it's amazing and people need to listen to it.
All right. So I started playing for about 10 hours. I'm sorry. I started playing for about 3 hours with friends who had a blast watching it. And the rest I played myself. I played for about 10 hours total. I'm a pandemic parent, so my time was limited. Deal with it. I played a combination of waiting for the story and skipping the story. So I'm sorry.
Why would you ever skip it? What is wrong with you?
You know, I'm very familiar with both series, so sometimes I feel safe skipping a little bit of the filler.
Miss?
I'll get to it. Anyways, I did focus on the main campaign, the side missions, and various mechanics. For those coming from the Neptunia universe, especially those who liked Cyber Dimension Neptunia and Hyper Dimension Neptunia, you Action Unleashed, you're in for all that you love and then some.
Woohoo!
For those coming from Senran Kagura, it depends what era you prefer as to whether or not the transition is an easy one. The closest games to it are the ones made for the 3DS, where you're not fighting other female ninjas, you're fighting monsters. So the closest analog is going to be Burst Renewal on the PC and PlayStation 4. There's a lot more depth to this game than your usual Senran Kagura one. Story. This section could bog me down for hours trying to explain, but the short of it is that the Kampa ninjas, who are the Neptunia characters, and the Honeypond ninjas, who are the Senran characters, get attacked by the Steam Nation with an E at the end, STEME Nation.
The nations were at peace until the Steam Nation attacked.
Oh, they weren't at peace. They were warring with each other, and then Steam Nation came in, who's led by a character named Yo Gamer. I'm not kidding. Yes, that is her actual name.
This all tracks so far. Yeah, I'm liking
it. Yeah. Attacks both using her headshot style. Yes, also really. Subtlety is not an aspect of either of these series of games.
God, I'm loving this so much.
There's a joke about fan service in the first hour of the game. As with almost every Neptunia game, the story focuses on interpersonal actions of the main characters, feeling more like a visual novel or dating sim. That's not a bad thing in the slightest. It just requires a particular audience. Neptunia fans will be familiar. Yes. But it might be a little jarring coming from Senran, where, yes, there is a significant amount of dialogue, but at the end of the day, the story here is to just move the other aspects along. This is exemplified in the Nin Chat feature, where in between almost any progression in the story, you can go talk to main characters, side characters, cameo characters, extended universe characters, mascots. Shit, I would not be surprised if my mother showed up at some point in this Nin Chat feature. This is where we'll get into whether or not I can recommend this game. Are you okay with 97 different side mechanics, all requiring a minimum attention to detail? If so, then you're going to have a great fucking time. You can definitely skip almost every side mechanic. At least I was able to seemingly do so when I went to progress. So, like, you can play the game stock vanilla and just do the story missions and still have a good time. I didn't get to finish the game to solidify that assessment. This is because there are actually 97 different side mechanics, all requiring a minimum attention to detail, and I wanted to check them out. Like I said, this is as close to professional as I'll ever fucking get. I'm going to take a step back before I go over the mechanics to show how this game progressed for me. You get about 20 minutes of cutscenes before you even get to your first fight. Strap in. The game does the current typical modern trope of battle tutorials so that every fight they introduce something new for you to use, and this happens half a dozen times before you get another 20 minutes of cutscenes. After that, you finally get to the shinobi base and any kind of menus where you can save or change your preferences, or shop, or whatever. Once there, you get more cutscenes for every new menu or side mechanic you have access to. I'll be honest, it was probably about 2 hours, maybe three, before I had any real access to the game uninterrupted by new things explained by multiple cutscenes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That tracks.
You might think I'm ragging on this game, but I am not. This is very typical for Neptunia games. Very typical.
Yeah.
So if you're coming in new to both series, this is a good example of a Neptunia-style game, less so a Senran. If you want a proper introduction to Senran, and I'll explain this again at the end, you should start with Burst Renewal. The fighting here is only a close approximation to the fast and fluid fighting in Senran. I'll explain more later. When you finally do get to the menus, you got your main story mechanics area, team formation, spirit gems, which is this game's equivalent of like a Final Fantasy X sphere grid for stat boosts, equipment, more stat and move changes, perishables, items that you can use when you're out on a mission, and the store. You can skip spirit gems for the most part or just use auto. I did. It didn't affect the battles that much. At the end of it, I was able to attempt a mission that was 5 levels higher than what I was in terms of the recommendation without even breaking a sweat. It's a very forgiving game.
Yep, same thing with Neptunia game.
Yeah, same thing with equipment. I got by almost entirely on stock stuff. So you got main missions on the world map, side missions in the Komotsu Shrine that you get through main story or by talking to people in Ninchat. Ninchat, where you go to talk to people, and some of those people give you missions or items. You also form bonds in the chat, but it doesn't affect too much. Then you have the Peaches and Cream Meditation.
All right.
Which is a balancing minigame where you unlock stat boosts for your characters if you keep them from falling. They're literally balancing on a giant peach. Mostly naked.
Okay, you won me over. You won me over.
Again, it isn't absolutely necessary to progress into the game, so it can be skipped if you want, but at this point, you now know what kind of game this is. And if you're into this kind of game, the last thing you'll be doing is moving the story along. You're going to pour 900 hours into reading every Ninchat after every single minor encounter or cutscene in the game to make sure you don't miss anything. You're going to accept requests and redo world mission grinding just to get all the characters and their teammates to the same level. You're going to buy and sell and minorly change the aspects of every character in your arsenal because you're going to do every side mission you can.
This is all just me right here.
Neptunia / Senran Kagura is how you live your life for the next 11 weeks.
It won't take me that long.
Hold on a second. I'm sorry, I just had to check, and according to the Nintendo store, the game is rated T14.
But wait, there's more.
No.
Wait, really?
No, this game is not rated T14. It's rated T for titties. This game has a lot of almost titty, like, what the fuck?
How it is this not T-rated, wow.
I am so confused right now, I beg your pardon, this is really derailing my train of thought. Wow, I got in more trouble when I was 12 looking up actual porn that had less titty than there is in this game. Anyways, this is a game for people who like to play the Atelier series. You've got so many ancillary activities, and that's absolutely fine, but that's the niche that this game is. That being said, this is a great crossover game, and I've honestly been enjoying the hell out of it. The actual fighting mechanics feel smooth and fluid, albeit at a slower pace of combat similar to U Action Unleashed. There's regular moves, ranged moves, super moves, extreme shinobi moves, special moves, elemental boosts. It's a lot of fucking fun, and I find myself grinding not just because I feel the need to, but because it's a really enjoyable combat system. I'm doing the Peaches and Cream Meditations just to see all the character fall images, but also because it's a really fun little mini game. The game's translation is hilarious, and chatting up randos in Ninchat makes me smirk, if not outright giggle at times. This game is, to me, everything that I like about Neptunia refined to a mirror shine and infused with some Senran mechanics. It feels weird saying you enjoy a fan service game's story and lore, but I genuinely do love the character building that's been done in the Senran series. They're a fun, enjoyable group to keep track of. So seeing Neptunia and Asuka interact has been an awesome experience. Good characters are where you find them, and I have to give a particular credit to the translation teams over the years with this series, keeping mostly a similar tongue-in-cheek tone about a lot of things without sacrificing good characterization. So the main mechanics are fun, the game looks fantastic, the cutscene art is mostly on point, though there is a bit of mouth strangeness that we kept finding ourselves laughing at. The mouth's kind of open going like, wow, 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 while their voice actor's actually going, so it's a little jarring.
Neptunia stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
That's common.
Yep, the voice acting is good, the menus are easily navigable, if a little obtuse, and the in-game fighting runs at a steady 30 frames per second. So my final recommendation is that if you're already a Neptunia fan, this is a no-brainer. It's awesome, go buy it.
Cool.
And yes, I am specifically calling you out. Who is saying that this is you?
Yeah, this seems like it's Senran Kagura in combat, but it seems like it's Neptunia, literally everything else from what I'm seeing on here. Sadly, I'm not seeing the menu area, but the way you explained it, it just sounded like it was standard Neptunia stuff. So
it is 100% standard, but it's very refined. So I still find that in the like the Rebirth 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. And even in Cyber Dimension Neptunia, there's a little like jank in the menus.
Oh yeah,
and in a lot of the side mechanics, this feels very polished. Like they took a lot of time to get this feeling right, and it shows. Nice. So if you're a Senran fan and want to follow the story of the characters in another offshoot, absolutely. This is a great jumping on point for the Neptunia universe as well. Small learning curve to slower, more complicated fighting and a relatively heavier emphasis on dialogue. Yes, it's possible, but otherwise, it's great. If you're new to both series, it honestly depends on which one interests you more at the start. If equal, it's a great game for both. If you're more into Neptunia, it's also great to start with. Again, if Senran, go with Burst Renewal, because that's more typical of the series.
If and you like if... boobs, this is the game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because both series are known for boobs. So
yes.
Absolutely.
I hadn't played much on my Switch in months, not even much for the Pokemon Gen 4 remake, and I fucking love Gen 4. And I started getting Joy-Con drift while playing Neptunia Cross Senran Kagura, and I ordered a Split Pad Pro because I expect to be playing it a hell of a lot more and don't want to fucking deal with any drift. I can already tell I'm going to spend an unhealthy amount of time with this game.
Yeah.
Hey, Idea Factory, Tamsoft, Compile Heart, whomever, if you're listening, this is the exact kind of game that needs co-op multiplayer. Please! That is my wish. Please make it happen. Also, please explain to me why there's a character named Dayu Yutubo. Explain it, and why he uses an art called Nuisance Broadcast. That is the end of my review.
All right.
I'm really digging the visual style of this game. I'm looking forward to this. Sadly, my PC will not run this. So I will buy it and... wait until I have a new PC before I play it, just like I've done with a couple of the other games.
Like, I like this so much. The copy I got was for Switch, and I do plan on buying it on Steam as well. Not just because I like supporting Tamsoft and Compile Heart, but also because I'm a snobby PC gamer, and as much as I like the Switch Pad Pros, I gotta go with my my computer controller.
Oh, yeah, we should... It should also be pointed out to everybody who's thinking about this game, there will almost certainly be a ton of DLC for it, because that is just how the Neptunia games go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's how the Senran Kagura games go, but...
Yeah, I didn't get far enough to see if there was a dressing room mechanic, but all the Senran games had that up to now. And usually the clothing items, they'll sell DLC sets of that and DLC of character add-ons and sometimes like backing music bundles for replacement.
Neptunia games get a lot of that and also get like weapons and stuff as well. So if you really want everything in this game, it's going to probably end up costing you a little bit.
It depends. Like it's almost entirely vanity stuff or things that are non-critical to the game. So I have a hard time really saying that it's still not worth the base purchase if you don't want any of the DLC. I think you're still gonna have a great time with the game if you don't buy a single piece of DLC for this, because there's a fuck ton that I already got through. Like there is.
I have every piece, almost every single piece of DLC for every Neptunia game that exists.
Oh Lord. That's pretty impressive.
I get obsessed. And most of it is like, you know, let's just take a look at Neptunia 7 because it's the first one on the list. There's 12 pieces of DLC and I have every last fucking one of them. One of them that I'm like, I don't even know why I fucking have this, because it's a digital deluxe thing, which is just like backgrounds and shit. And usually that is stuff that I specifically don't buy. But there's like 1, 2, 3, 4 other characters, some equipment. There's a swimsuit and negligee pack. Of course I bought both of those packs.
You think I could live without every piece of underwear?
Then there's 3 different weapon packs, including an ultimate weapon pack. And if you're like, oh, so they have really cool look. No, those are top tier fucking weapons that you get to play with from the very beginning. Those are amazing.
Game breaking shit.
Oh, yeah. They are 100%.
Aki is like Joe with Rock Band, but instead Neptunia.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah. And we're going to go on forever if we keep this up. So, Steve-O, tell us about your podcast.
Oh, porn. Yeah.
Wait, are we supposed to buy this game or what?
Yes.
He said that part.
Okay.
So the recommendation comes out to Neptunia, it must buy. Senran Kagura, likely buy. Interested in both series, definitely a good considerable buy. If you like action RPGs and don't mind potentially like sloggy side mechanics, it's absolutely worth it. If you like fan service, it's a no-brainer.
And boobies.
Yeah.
Yay.
Because the Senran Kagura girls are very chesty.
Yeah, there's jiggle physics on the title screen, so.
T-rated, you know, kids.
You already sold me. You can't sell me any harder.
Yeah, you sold all of us. Talk about the podcast. review is never going to end if I don't step in here and force it to end.
Hey, that key you gave me got their money's worth.
They did.
Real.
They did.
Friday Night Fan Fiction. Check it out at FridayNightFanFiction.com. The show
is about porn on there.
we're going to be going on a bit of a hiatus at the end of May, but you've got like 12 seasons worth of material, and each episode is at least an hour. So that's a lot of material that you got if you've never listened to us. I recommend starting at season 6, but season 12 is our most recent. We recently read about Tucker Carlson having sex with the green M&M.
Sounds about right.
So recently read about Martin Luther King Jr. having sex with the green M&M.
Okay.
That green M&M is getting some action. Damn.
There's been some real, real good stuff this season. A Gigantus pregnancy fic starring Gilligan's Island members.
What the fuck's that? I don't know.
Do any of the men get pregnant?
No, at least not in that one.
At least not in that one.
Perfect. Find out in the future. Stay tuned, kids.
Dude, if you just look at some of our episode title. Hold on a second. Friday Night Fan Fiction. Also, Spotify Wrapped was absolutely gold. Because it said that the first episode that we released in 2021 was like season 11, episode 3 or something like that. The episode title was called Squishy Ishy Cummies. And underneath Spotify just added a little, that's got to feel good, right? I'm just like, wow, Spotify, you're a better comedian than I am. Anyways, going through just some of the episode titles, West Virginer, Senior Week, Paul Atreides Nuts.
Oh, sweet baby fucking Jesus.
I eat food. Hubba Bubba Cum. I live in cream pie, apparently.
Is this the kind of list you wanted, Jacob?
No, I wanted you to read the list of videos from Clerks.
Nah, this is better.
It's either that or else you just sit there and read like all the titles of Chuck Tingle books.
Hotel. We have an episode called Just the Cum Episode.
And on that note, we are going to wrap this up. Steve-O, thank you so much for coming on, hanging out.
Is just the tip episode?
I'm a filthy man. Good night, you all.
We love you. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, just take care of yourselves and each other. I'll leave on wholesome.
Wholesome.
Also, titties.
All right, Jess, you want to follow that up?
Yeah.
Or you want Jacob to go first?
No, that's okay. I can go.
All right. Next game to talk about is Cat Cafe Manager. Just a slight change in pace.
Just a little.
Developed by Roost Games, published by Freedom Games, released April 14th on Switch for $19.99. The life of a cat cafe manager awaits. Your grandmother left you a small cafe in the somber village of Catterwall Way. It's up to you to fix the place up, impress the locals, and befriend the local cat population. Jess, tell us about your time with Cat Cafe Manager.
So, if you like puns, they have a lot of those.
Yay!
Starting out.
Carnage is going to buy this game.
Yeah.
What's this one?
Switch.
Yeah. Damn. So, yeah. So, it's basically a cafe simulation. There are some really fun points in it. But generally, you get into the game, you know, grandmother's left you this place, but you actually start out with no building at all. And that's where I first had some issues with it, is actually building your building. So I really enjoyed the artwork. I love the fact that, you know, they do have different characters and there is an overarching story. There's a mystery about this town involving a cat shrine, so I was immediately drawn in because it's cats, there's a shrine, there's different characters that frequent your cafe, and of course you're trying to get different things out of these people to continue building your cafe. So gold, different potions from the witches, all of these things that you can basically trade for items in the store in town.
Okay.
So,
aren't there a few stores too? As my wife played this one for a little bit as well, and
yeah,
she ran into the same issue as you, where the game started and she's like, "What the fuck do I do?"
What? Yeah, the game mechanics.
Isn't there a cafe I'm supposed to run? Where is it?
Where is it? My favorite part was actually I had a very hard time figuring out how to put in a door. So for a while, I was just stuck outside of my building because I couldn't figure out how to put a door in. And unfortunately, all of the notices they were telling me, like, oh, this can't be placed here, was hidden by a part of the game. So not super helpful on that. Now, once you kind of got into the game, the mechanics get a little bit easier to figure out, but definitely they want you to go to the guidebook, and I don't read things in games. It's a bad habit, but I don't read things in games. So and even when I did finally break down after 20 minutes of trying to install a door, I couldn't actually figure out how to install the door from the game manual. So, not great on that part. If you like a general cafe simulation game, then this is what that is. There are cats there, and they do kind of, you have to pick cats that will, of course, please the various type of customers you have coming in. So, like, you want a punk cat for the punks, right? But you don't really interact a whole lot with the cats. You can pet the cats, but it seems to have no bearing on their emotional well-being. So it's just like a normal cat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Accurate.
Yeah. Mostly ignores you, does their own thing. So overall, I mean, it's a good solid game for that cafe simulation part. I was still playing it, you know, an hour or two in the evenings. It's very just, you know, relaxing.
Something you'll be going back to.
Yep. But other than that, it doesn't flesh out those story parts as much as I really wanted to. I would really love to be able to, you know, actually interact more with the people you're allowed to call. You can call up, you know, a regular customer, which is kind of the archetype of each of those characters, and you can talk to them. But it's very short conversations. You have some options for how you respond, but it's very limited. So it's good overall, but definitely some room for improvement on those game mechanics for sure.
Cool. The game is sitting at $20. What are your thoughts?
I would not, now I'll preface this with, since I've never been on this, you don't know I'm a cheapskate, but I would not pay $20 for
it. We know Jacob's a cheapskate, so.
Okay. Well, you know, we're together.
But what price point would you be like, yeah, I'll drop money on this?
Yeah, maybe like $10. 10, 15, I might, because it is kind of, it is nice to build it up. I think that the mechanics in the beginning are really rough, and a tutorial would probably solve that really easily, or just something real simple to get into it. But once you're into it, it's a fun cafe simulation that you can kind of just play around with casually.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is it for you. We will let you get going so you can stand menacingly over Jacob's shoulder waiting for him to finish.
Woohoo! I love menacing. Anyway.
Thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us. Did you want to stick around with Jacob, or do you want to get going?
I'm going to get going.
Makes sense.
You know.
I don't blame you. I wish I could get the fuck out of here, too.
All right.
Do you have any final words?
Yeah. Have a lovely evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just chill.
Hello?
Thanks. All right. Bye.
All right. Moving on. Next game to talk about is the House of the Dead remake, developed by Megapixel Studio, published by Forever Entertainment, released April 28th on Xbox One, PS4, PC, and Stadia for $19.99. Nobody Leaves Here Alive. The House of the Dead remake is a remade version of the game introduced in 1997 arcades. A classic arcade rail shooter receives a whole new entourage and gameplay changes to suit modern gaming standards. Jacob, what's going on in House of the Dead remake?
So first off, I just want to say I was highly disappointed that this was not a remake of the 2003 movie, you know, which had such wonderful lines of, why would you want to become immortal? To live forever. anyway, so I'm not gonna lie, when you first mentioned oh, you want to review a House of the Dead game, and I was like, that seems kind of weird because I don't know if there's any light gun accessories for Xbox. I was just like, I don't know how this is going to work. And you're like, ooh, you have to use your controller. That's strange. Okay. And so what it is that you just have your joystick, you use your left joystick and it controls, your sight for your gun. And you just hit the, right trigger for fire, left trigger for reload, and you just go away blasting the zombies and monsters and slugs and werewolf things, and you try to save the scientists. The game looks gorgeous. It looks heck of a lot better than how it did back in 1997. But as far as I could tell, it seems like everything is still there. I'm not going to lie, some of the pathways through this game seem a bit different than I remember them, but at the same time, I know I played House of the Dead 2 more than the original, so yeah. I don't know if I'm just getting the two confused.
Well, this is a remake. It's not a remaster, so they redid it from the ground up.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so that...
It's remade completely.
Okay, so the paths might be...
Might okay. be reworked All right. and yeah, yeah, yeah. changes might be totally made.
Different than... All right, cool. I mean, if they are, then that makes sense. But yeah, I'm having a blast just playing this game. I will say this, it's real easy to lose sight of your reticule or the sight that you use to aim.
Lose sight of the sight?
Yeah, you lose sight of the sight. I was trying to find another way to say it.
Yeah, reticule.
So anyway, it's real easy to do that. And so you're going to die a bunch, but thankfully the game just, it just assumes you have infinite quarters, which is a nice thing because then I could just go through and not care how it plays out. I just get to keep going. Now I will say, my hands constantly lost feeling, as I was gripping the controller really tight, and I'm not going to lie, during boss fights, it gets real bad. I'd have to hit pause at least two or three times during this, get my fingers moving again and stuff. But honestly, it's a lot of fun. It's better than I expected. It looks beautiful. It really is, though. It's awkward as hell without a light gun. Like,
I don't think we're ever getting light guns again, because those worked with the TV tubes. So
I know, but it's just, well,
maybe gyro aiming on PlayStation. I don't know if they have that,
like something for the Switch, but
it's out on Switch. So it was first on Switch.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be cool to try it out on that and see how that works, but I wish that there was some sort of light gun thing. It just doesn't feel right without it, but it is still a blast to play.
Well, as it stands, $20, what do you say?
Oh, really? $20. Yeah, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, I mean, some dickhead roaring by my place really loud. I don't know if my mic picked that up or not.
I didn't hear it, so. Okay. Yeah, for $20, it's totally worth it. Now, if you're a little hesitant, like, you know, because you're not really getting the full arcade experience with this, then yeah, you can wait for a sale, but it's totally worth it. It caught me off guard with how well it was done and how well it plays out. And there are different modes to it. And thankfully, you know, obviously there's a ton of replayability with it. I mean, it's House of the Dead.
Nah.
But I really enjoyed it and I'd really recommend it.
Cool. All right, next game is Ganryu 2, developed by Storybird Studio. God damn it. Published by Just for Games and Pixel Heart, released April 22nd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $14.99. You play as Miyamoto Musashi traveling through a 17th century fantasy Japan from north to south to the island of Ganryu-jima, where everything started between Musashi and Kojiro. Jacob, what's going on in Ganryu 2?
That is an excellent question. What the hell is going on in this game? Like, it opens up with this, like, cutscene, and it's just, like, it's this guy meditating, but, like, he's using the Force to talk, or, like, psychic powers to talk to some other guy who I guess was the big bad from the previous game, and they're like, hey, you know, I know you defeated me, but guess what, I'm still around, ha 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 ha. Well, I will defeat you with my samurai sword, blah, 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 blah. Like, and then off starts your adventure, and it's like, okay. So the game plays a lot like Ninja Gaiden or Shinobi. I almost said Tenchu. Like the old Shinobi games. And you're running around and, you know, you have your samurai sword. It's set in, like, a feudal Japan. And, like, there's all these, like, ninjas and, like swordsmen running about. And you just have to slash your way, jump, like, to new levels. It's a lot of platforming action. And honestly, like, for something that I had no idea existed, like, apparently this was, like, some sort of Neo Geo game from back in the day.
Yeah, 1999, it was the original game on Neo Geo. Yeah,
I've never heard of it before, but honestly, like, it's really a retro treat. Like, the graphics look beautiful. I don't know if they're updated or not.
I don't think anything is upgraded. Okay. This is just a new game.
Wait, what do you mean it's a new game?
It's a sequel to a game from 99.
Oh, I thought you were saying the game came out in 99.
No, it's the sequel to Ganryu made for Neo Geo back in 99. Yeah.
Okay. Well, honestly, it's a beautiful game. It looks like it could have been from 1999 with, like, those kind of, like, 16, 32-bit graphics that you would have seen. And so you're just running around with your sword, or if you want to, like, throw ninja stars, you can also use magic. You can use, like, this, like, kind of speed boost to, like, slash through your enemies and stuff. And the action, while it's really challenging, like, you're gonna die, like, make no bones about it, you're gonna die, like, a lot. But while the action is challenging, it really just makes you want to, like, go back and keep trying again and again. Because when you do kick the shit out of these enemies, like, it looks awesome. Like, it's not like Samurai Showdown levels of, like, blood spurting everywhere, but it's just like, you're able to pull off these, And they're not even like combos either. It's just like you jump, jump, like slash, slash, jump, slash. Like you just keep doing this all over the place. And it just looks awesome. Like, yeah, it's a blast.
Cool. Well, it's $15. What do you think?
Little expensive, but for $15, honestly, it's worth it. Cause it honestly, I'd like to see more stuff like this. I'm always up for like retro adventures like this, and like something that was obviously the game devs obviously did their homework. Like they've, you know, they love the genre, and it shows through and through with this game. So admittedly it is challenging, and that might be off putting to some, but it's the kind of challenge that makes you want to keep returning to it. So for $15, I wish it was cheaper, but I'm fine with 15. I'd recommend it.
Cool. All right. You got one last game to talk about, Jacob. That is Metal Tales Overkill, developed and published by Zero Uno Games, released April 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $14.99. Metal Tales Overkill is an action-adventure game where metal and adrenaline clash to give you the ultimate 3D roguelike guitar shooter. Fight against the looming curse affecting your metal brothers and free them from an ancient evil. Jacob, what's going on in Metal Tales?
So, I honestly did not realize that this was a roguelike game. when I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll review it.
Reading is good.
I know. So is doing research.
Which, yay.
Yeah. Anyway, so you start off, and you start off as this like heavy metal guy or girl, whichever one you want to be. Now there are differences between the two, and you can unlock other characters. And which gives it kind of like its own like Streets of Rage, like, you know, what's your playing style kind of thing. But you start off with two different characters that you can play as, and you just move through these rooms. You have to wipe out everybody, survive traps, that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, you can pick up coins, you can pick up new weapons, you can pick up extra like secondary weapons that you can use, like grenades or like some sort of energy blast thing. It's kind of hard to tell. But you can also like pick up coins, which upgrade stuff. But then when you die, and you're going to die a lot, it is a roguelike. Thankfully, whatever upgrades you've purchased for your character, they will stay with you throughout the rest of the game. So thank God for that. Now, this game soundtrack is provided by a bunch of different metal groups, and what's kind of cool is that not only does the music shift frequently, but it also tells you like who's playing what. There is a very nice like, here's more information about this band. This is where they're from. This is the kind of music they play, so on and so forth. So not only like are the devs fans of metal, but like they're also going to help expose you to plenty of, you know, different bands from all over the world. And I thought that was pretty cool. That being said, the game is, it's difficult. I mean, it's a roguelike, you know,
yeah,
it's difficult by nature. However, I did end up with a game breaking issue, with it. And I don't know what these objects are, if they're tables or like trash cans or something. But pretty much if you shoot it with your energy, or like your energy bolts that come out of your guitar, all of a sudden it's just like whatever it is, like the table. I'm just going to call them tables for the rest of this because I honestly can't figure out what the hell they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's just like they start shaking and vibrating, and they'll start shaking all over the screen. Now they can be destroyed with like if you have like a bomb item. Which I assume is what you're supposed to do with it. But I don't know whether like if shooting them is supposed to like if you shoot it like 10 times or something, it destroys. I don't know. But if you keep shooting it, it will just it starts vibrating and then it like starts moving all over the screen and it actually crashes the game. To where like you can't go any further. And I was just like, I didn't know what to make of it at first. I thought it was just a weird fluke the first time I ran into it. But then the second time, thankfully, I took the time to actually record what's happening when it happened to me again. So it's just like, so I know it is this specific item. So like, unfortunately, if it turns up, don't touch it for the time being. And hopefully they'll go back and fix this. I do plan on messaging the devs about it later on. And like linking to the video that I recorded of it.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can figure this out. So honestly, game breaking bug aside, I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's not exactly my cup of tea. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of roguelikes, but I had fun with it. So,
and the music is banging.
Yeah. So. The music is really awesome. Like,
so it's almost worth the price for the music alone.
Yeah, I really do. And I really do enjoy the fact that it's like, you know, here's a track by, you know, it's like 15 or 20 different tracks by, as I said, bands all over the world. So, you know, not only do you get to play a really cool game, but you get to be exposed to new bands too.
Cool. Well, $15 verdict.
I'm comfortable with that price. Yeah, I'd recommend it. As I said, there is a game breaking bug, but other than that, it's a blast and I'd recommend it. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for you. We will let you get going so your wife can beat the shit out of you for bringing her on here.
Hey, she's the one who wanted a cat cafe game.
True.
That's not my fault.
Kind of asked for it. So, all right. Do you have any final words?
Nah.
Aki, do you have any final words for Jacob?
No, I don't care that much.
Farfig Nugan, you bitch.
Next game to talk about is Bugsnax, developed and published by Young Horses, released April 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Switch for $24.99. Bugsnax takes you to the journey to Snacktooth Island, home of the legendary half-bug, half-snack creatures Bugsnax, invited by intrepid explorer Elizabeth Magafia? I don't know. You arrive to discover your host nowhere to be found, her camp in shambles, and her followers scattered across the island alone and hungry. It's up to you to solve the mysteries of Snacktooth Island. What happened to Lisbert? What are bug snacks and where do they come from? But most of all, why do they taste so good? Aki, what is bug snacks?
It is a game.
Helpful.
It's an adventure game. You play as a journalist who received a video from Lisbeth, telling her, "Hey," or telling you, "Hey, come here and join me and my girlfriend or wife or whatever it is, and all these other useless fuckwits, and write a story about us because you're like me. Both of you are seen as crazy failures, so that's great, I guess." So you head over there in a blimp, and it crashes because it does. I don't actually know why. And then you go about trying to fix the town because apparently Lisbeth and her girlfriend something like that, Eggy, got in a fight and they left. And without Lisbeth, the entire town is, kind of garbage because everyone there is kind of a terrible person in a different way. So yeah, first you meet the self-proclaimed mayor, Philbo, I think is his name. He's, okay. He's... Oh, what's a nice way of saying really, really fucking stupid? Whatever the nice way of saying he's a fucking moron is, that's what we're going with. That's what he is.
There is no nice way to say.
Okay, well, there we go then. you meet him and you catch some bugs for him to eat. And when I say bugs, some of y'all are probably thinking, ew, no. All the bugs, everything on this island is considered a bug for some reason, even though most of them aren't bugs, but they're all food. And I don't mean like, oh, a mealworm is food if you really want to eat a bug. I mean like some of these bugs are literal strawberries that have legs.
Mm.
Some of these are hamburgers that have legs. No internal organs or anything, so it's not like you kill them and you have to cook them up or anything. Matter of fact, if you cook them up, they turn into mush. If you do anything to them other than just pick them up and eat them, they turn to mush for some reason. At least that's what people tell me. I have no idea. Your character can't eat them. They're allergic. Woohoo. However, when people eat these things, part of their body changes into the creature that they ate. So let's say one of the little strawberry things. Well, maybe their hand turns into a strawberry.
Okay.
Yeah, don't make no sense. And they seem completely unfazed by the concept of turning into fruit and other edible items. They're just like, oh, yeah, now I don't have a paw or fingers. Now I have a strawberry. And it just seems like they're fine with it. Okay, then, I guess, whatever. I've turned somebody into a giant potato. So, I mean, I guess, whatever.
And well, what's the gameplay like? Like, you're just eating bugs?
For the most part, you're going around, you're catching bugs for people because sometimes they want specific ones to interact with other people or because they think they'll get stronger or whatever. Other times you're actually going into the world trying to find some of these people who left their little town that they build called Snacksburg, I think it was what it was. Everyone split up when Lisbeth left, as I said. There's not very many people there. You're trying to get the entire town back because you become Lisbeth's replacement because apparently none of these people are capable of being competent, so they have to let this stranger who knows nothing be the competent one. Yay! So you're off trying to find these various people, and usually that amounts to catching specific bug snacks and feeding it to them, or helping them find items that they've lost, which are usually just big sacks of whatever. You only pick up a sack and they're like, oh yeah, now this was that, and stuff like that. And yeah, that's actually a majority of the game right there. It's just going around picking them up. Sometimes you have to figure out how to get the bug snacks because some of them are like frozen. Excuse me. And I don't mean like, oh, they're blocks of ice. I mean like you touch them, you turn into a fucking block of ice, which kind of makes them really hard to catch. Others are on fucking fire. so, yeah. I still haven't quite figured out how to catch most of the fire ones because there are a lot of fire ones that I'm just like, I need to catch that because I want to catch all of them because it's very much like Pokemon. You got to catch them all. I'm not sure if you actually do, but I want to, and I'm not going to stop until I do it. Every area you're in, you're trying to figure out what happened to Lisbeth, basically, into this area, because, again, you're writing a paper on it. But to find any of this, you have to find all these other fucking people, get information from them, so that maybe you can find her. And all that revolves around finding more and more fucking bugs.
Love this whole time you're calling her Elizabeth when it's Elizabeth.
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, Lisbeth.
Yeah. I'm never going to say it right. Meh. I got over that real quick, didn't I? she's not around to argue with what I call her. So, if she had a problem with that, maybe she should fucking be in town. I win.
So what do you think of the game? Is it fun?
It is so cute. And I really like catching the bugs, actually. Because lots of them, like, you have some bugs that are, like, in protective stuff, so you can't pick them up for some reason, even though you can pick up the item that they're hiding in, but you can't pick them up when they're in the item. Stuff like that. Like, it's fun to figure out how to catch them and to actually catch them. There's one character who actually has this pin that you can put them in, and every time you visit, it alternates what's out, and you can pet them and put little hats on them, and it's super cute. That's one of the reasons why I'm catching one of everything, because I've become obsessed. I need to catch one of everything to put in that fucking pin so I can see them all, including boss monsters. There's some boss ones that you get to fight a little later on, and you can fight them multiple times if you want. And those are really interesting to figure out how to beat those. some of them are very, well, I fought two of them so far, and both of them have been very complicated until I figured out what the fuck I was doing. It's just like catching some of the other ones. You have to figure it out. Once you have it figured out, it's usually not particularly hard. You just have to figure out what the fuck you're doing, because the game doesn't help. it's super cute. I like some of the characters. Some of them are really annoying. Again, all of them are problems in one way or another. Like, you have the con man who's more than happy to steal stuff and sell it to people because he's a dickhead. You have one who wants to get everyone's dirt, and then because she wants everyone to know the truth, but then is shocked when no one fucking likes her for digging up their secrets. And she's a snooty little fuck. Then again, you got the dumbass who is, for some reason, was provided mayorship by Elizabeth. And yes, and I'm purposely saying it right now, even though no one believes in him or trusts in him or anything, everyone looks down on him because he is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that because I find him stupid. He is made to be stupid, and everyone sees him as such. Like, so every character has their own little quirk that makes them kind of unlikable in one way or another. It's a very eclectic group of shitbags, but...
I like how you can take, like, an E10 rated game and just dirty it up.
Yeah, I'm good at it. So,
$25, what do you think of Bugsnax?
I really like it. I think $5 cheaper would have been a preference for me personally. I think it's more of a $15 to $20 game. But it's fun. I do enjoy it.
Next game to talk about is the Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe, developed and published by Crows, released April 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $24.99. You will play as Stanley, and you will not play as Stanley. You will make a choice, and you will have your choices taken from you. The game will end, the game will never end. Contradiction follows contradiction. The rules of how games should work are broken, then broken again. You are not here to win. The Stanley Parable is a game that plays you, Aki. Aki, what's going on in this game?
You play as Stanley. And there is no other person you play as, so I don't know why they said that. At least I haven't found anyone else. Stanley...
Because are you really Stanley?
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah. Are you sure?
I don't know.
Exactly.
This game is actually complicated to explain. Stanley effectively wakes up at his office. He just realizes, oh shit, isn't doing what it's supposed to do, and realizes he has a brain finally, and then starts to move around. The entire time, a narrator is narrating everything you do and telling you what to do, I might add. And you can either do what the narrator says or piss the narrator off. It's really up to you. Every playthrough, depending on what you do, can change the time of it. But like, if you just follow all his instructions, you can beat the game really quickly. It takes like 3-4 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, depending on what you do.
Yeah. If you keep pissing the narrator off, the narrator will make life difficult for you permanently, is my belief. At least it feels like the narrator is gonna hold a grudge. Anyways, haven't played enough times through to know for sure that he carries a grudge, but I have a sinking suspicion motherfucker carries a grudge, specifically because I decided to spit in his face once and he decided he wanted to blow up the building with me in it, because that's
spoilers? Is that a spoiler? Is that a major?
Not really.
The review guide, we said we kindly request that if you choose to discuss the game's major twists, you include an appropriate spoiler disclaimer. So is that a spoiler?
I don't think so. I don't really know what would be considered a spoiler in this.
It's such a weird fucking game. What is a spoiler? Like, I don't.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what a spoiler is, because, like, yes, this is something that can happen during the end of one of your playthroughs, technically, but that playthrough is all of like 4 or 5 minutes long. It's really hard to be like, yes, this is a spoiler. And
yeah, it also says due to the amount of content in the game, it's advisable to play in multiple sittings. Be sure to completely close the game and reopen in between play sessions. So I'm guessing that like the suspend features of consoles kind of fuck with the game a little bit, I'm guessing, because I know there's an achievement to not play the game for 10 years.
Which is insane. And
people already cheated. Fucking cheater. You're cheating to cheat.
Scotty, we're cheater. Looking at you.
Cheater. I
mean, the original game also had one for 5 years. Cheater. As well.
Jesus, I don't agree with people who time travel for achievements, so I'll just say that.
I'm probably going to time travel that
you
one.
You cheater.
10 years.
Cheater.
That's obscene.
Cheater.
I'm fine with that.
Cheater. Think of the surprise you'll have in 2032 when you fire up this game.
Well, someone in chat says they don't know if anyone's found a way. I don't know if there actually is a true ending for the game. Because the thing is, this is narrating just like this small amount of one day. And when you get to the end, the game closes out. It brings you back to the main menu screen. And then you can click either begin a new game or to continue. And if you continue, you start at the beginning of the game again. Effectively, like if you clicked begin a new game. So I'm not really
it's
sure.
It's a new day.
No, it's the same day.
Yeah, well, it's Groundhog Day.
It opens the exact same way even. I don't understand what the difference is between start a brand new game and just continuing. But each time you can just make different choices. And they can, well, most of them lead to you pissing off the narrator and the narrator getting back at you various ways. most of the things I know come from the original game, from what I had seen of that. Like in one, you piss him off and he like tells you to follow this line to get where you're supposed to go. And like one room, he just completely fills it with lines just to fuck with you. And I'm sure that's in this version too.
Yeah.
I haven't found it yet. I can't wait to find that, cause that's going to be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, this is a first person fuck with you simulator.
Yeah. So it's really hard to know what is and isn't a spoiler. In my opinion, I didn't even realize really like it said, don't include spoilers without the spoiler thing. I didn't realize there were spoilers for the game, to be honest, because it's just you don't follow orders and someone gets pissed off and gives you the bird. That's all this game is.
Allegedly.
No, that is all the game is. Allegedly. Straight up.
Well, the game's $25. What do you think of it?
I like it. I have no idea if it's worth that much. Because I haven't played through enough of it for that, but
$250 a year for achievements.
Go for it.
Wait all 10 years, get that achievement, and it was worth $250 a year.
Yeah, $250 a year that you couldn't turn it on. And heaven forbid you turn it on one day early.
Motherfucker!
Yeah, because then you have to wait another 10 fucking years. Oh my God, yeah. That would hurt my fucking soul. Which is why I'm going to cheat it. Because if it weren't for me going to be fucking it up like that, I would just leave it because I don't care. it's 5 gigs big. I don't give a shit.
Let's see. April 2022. 23, 24, 32. Let's see. April 28th. We'll go with the 29th, which is a Thursday, which works out for us. Stanley.
So you're gonna flip it on right now and then just not play it anymore?
Parable. Maybe.
Oh my Jesus.
And then in 10 years,
if you're still alive,
on April 30, 2032.
You can't even remember it. You're gonna this isn't gonna well actually for
I'm
you
I'm not gonna be alive. Let's be real. I'm not making it another 10 years.
And even if you do, chances are you probably would be able to get this achievement because you'd forget you even owned the fucking game. You'd play it tonight and then you'd never play it again. We'd have to remind you in like 15
years.
Oh,
no, I set an alarm on my phone.
Did you ever get that? Oh, God.
Yeah, I set an alarm on my phone. That's why I pulled it up.
Well, so, remember to play the game today then.
I will.
Okay.
All right, next game to talk about is Winter Ember, developed by Sky Machine Studios, published by Blowfish Studios, released April 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $29.99, coming soon to the Switch. You are Arthur Artorias, a sole survivor of a massacre that devastated your family's legacy and tore them out of the history books. Thought to be dead, you emerge from exile 8 years later, the faceless man, kindled by the flame and seeking vengeance, embarked on an adventure unraveling a dark tale filled with twisted characters centered around a militant religion hell-bent on keeping control. Sounds like today. What's going on in this game?
Okay. Congrats on saying his last name right.
I'm Yay!
Well, you play as Hit Arthur, and he's a man. Well, he was a man whore. A blonde hair, blue-eyed man whore. And the game starts with you being a man whore, bringing two ladies home to bang. Yeah, because, again, man whore.
Rated T for teen, by the way. So.
Huh?
Rated T for teen, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Came home with two bitches. It's fantastic for teen, yes. Some people decide to kill everybody in your house and set you on fucking fire. Because, you know, they're bad people. They killed everyone else, but they decided just to kick the shit out of you and then set you on fire instead of making sure you were dead by, I don't know, putting a bullet in your head or something, because that makes sense. And luckily, one of the ladies you had fucked hid from them because she was leaving when they came in and started killing everybody. She went and hid. And she got you out of the fire. So now you're a crispy critter and very badly burnt. And you're finally, like, how many years did it say?
Eight.
Ten?
Eight.
Okay. Yeah. He spent 8 years in recovery. And he's decided to come home because he's decided some motherfuckers need to die for that.
Oh, God.
Everyone apparently really needs to die for that, because for some reason, every enemy knows you need to die in the game, even though, like, you just go to get on a train, and there are people there trying to kill you. Just you, mind you. I don't know who any of these fuckers are, because at this point, you don't even know about the religious institute yet, and there are already people like, oh yeah, we need to kill this guy, and I'm like, I don't fucking know who you are, what the fuck's going on? And that continues into the area after you get on the train and actually get back to your home city. You continue to slaughter your way through all these people. I guess you don't have to kill them all, but why fucking wouldn't you? They're trying to kill you. You can hide from them, you can dodge around them, you can do all this other stuff. You don't have to actually fight them.
I just had to take my headphone off for a second to listen because I heard a noise, and I can hear my cat snoring through your voice.
Jesus.
That's how loud my cat is snoring right now. Oh, Petals, wow. You fat bitch. So, stealth game. What's it like?
There are some mechanics on the stealth that are pretty piss poor. Lots of them are okay. This game is built very much to where you can avoid most of the enemies if you really want to. You can even run away from them because after a while they will stop giving chase and go back to where they were, or at least close to where they were. But in this, you know, you got the crouch so you can sneak up behind people and, knife them in the throat and be done with them instantly instead of having to fight them. You can steal stuff off of them. You can pick locks. The real problem with the stealth is actually using it to get around in the environment. Because you can crouch, obviously, so you're not making as much fucking noise because you're a loud bitch otherwise. You can go behind different objects and click a button that is very finicky to actually be pressed up against it. However, when you do that, suddenly you can't see anything in the world. Everything is dark beyond that. Unless you peek around the side. And if
so, it's sight based? Does it have like the cone of vision kind of thing?
it shows your character's cone of vision basically by everything on the side of what you're leaning against you can see, because that's all your vision. When you tip your head around the side of it, you can see a chunk of it that also creates a bit of a cone. But if you just don't get it to where you're pressed up against something, you can see everything. You can just fucking see, because you can see over the boxes just normally crouched. But if you like rub your butt up against it real, real good, you can't for some reason. And that's just, so there's absolutely no point to using that mechanic, because it is actively detrimental instead of beneficial.
I like what the store page says about the game. I'm just going to read this straight from the store page. Blowfish might want to check out the store page and fix this. It says, choose your play style. Knocking out enemies may keep them quiet for some time, but they will eventually wake up. A quick slice to the throat may be a more permanent solution, but the blood stain you leave on the... That's it. It just stops right there. No, there's no read more. They forgot to put the rest.
I'm glad you actually mentioned that. Enemies will wake up on their own if you knock them out. Never knock them out. That is such a waste of fucking time. However, if you get in a fight with them or kill them or do a stealth kill, when they hit the ground, they create this giant pool of blood. And when you pick them up, blood drips off of them. And if enemies see that, they will fucking follow it. And if they find you there, they will fight you. And if they find a body there, they'll go on high alert and get lots of other people on high alert, which is really cool. I found it was really good just to knock them out, drag them somewhere, and then start attacking them while they were down on the ground, because you can kill them before they can stand up. That way they're off in a fucking corner and they're not going to be a fucking problem ever the fuck again. I found that out within like the first five enemies in the entire game, because I went around trying to steal everything that wasn't nailed down, and I went carried an unconscious body back to the room, and I noticed someone that I had knocked out was standing up and facing a wall, and I was like, what? I was very I didn't realize they'd wake up on their own. I thought they'd only wake up if an enemy found them and like kicked them in the head or whatever. And I was like, oh no, we're not doing this. And I killed the shit out of him. And then I killed the shit out of the one that I knocked out and had carried into that room. I was like, nope, okay, from now on, I'm just killing these motherfuckers. I'm done with this. And I didn't just kill all of them. Lots of them, I knocked them out, carried them somewhere, and then killed the shit out of them. Because you do have, for achievements, you have to knock out 50 or 100 of them. I did that, and then I killed them all immediately after. The one good thing the stealth mechanic I was mentioning earlier before you talked about that, when you are up against something, the only benefit it has is when an enemy walks close, you can stick your head out, see them, and either knock them out or kill them from around the corner, which is something you can't do if you're not against it. However, that is a very fucking finicky thing, because half the time they'll see you and that prevents you from being able to stealthily do anything, because you're no longer stealthy if they know you're fucking there. And in combat, as I said, the enemies will follow blood trails. Enemies, if you get hit enough times, you will start bleeding. And you have bandages and health potions. Bandages will stop bleeding. And if you run away, they will follow the blood trail right to you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I actually liked doing that quite a bit. And I just have them follow me into a place where it was, again, hidden. Then I'd just heal and I'd wait there for them to walk in and I'd kill them. Problem with that is if you haven't bandaged yourself and you're bleeding, you're actually going to continue to lose health, too. It's very slow, thankfully, so it's not like you're going to go from nearly full to dead in like 20 seconds or anything, but you will continue to lose health. And this game puts you in a lot of fights that you can't get out of, and some of them are fucking hard. You really need that fucking health. Thankfully, you can pause the game and just chug a bunch of healing potions. Yay. Yeah, that's the only Skyrim reason approach. I go through. Yep. It gives you a lot of different type of characters to fight, each one of them having their own way of fighting. To start off with, you have people in black clothing. They look like they're supposed to be cops, but they all want to kill you on sight immediately, even though you've done nothing wrong. So fuck them. I don't know if they're cops or not, but fuck them. They get to die anyways. They just have standard, you know, they have a sword and they just standardly attack you. And then you finally meet guys in white robes that are part of definitely of the religious sect, and they fight completely different. They block more often. They'll parry. You can parry as well. It's a bitch to do. They'll even throw flashbangs at the ground, which suck ass so bad. I hate those. Thankfully, it's not like a quick bright flash and then it's back to normal. No, it goes white and then it stays there and it slowly fades back to the standard darkness.
So it's not seizure inducing.
Yeah, not as harshly anyways. You know, going from the black to suddenly white could still do it. It wouldn't do it to me. I'm fine, thankfully, but that could still do it.
Did you have more?
If you want all the achievements in the game, I'm sorry, because you're going to play through it three times.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. There's three different endings, and it's literally just a choice you make at the end of the game.
Can you cheese it?
No, because it auto-saves. There's no manual. There's manual saving, but it auto-saves at different areas as well, and there's an auto-save after you've made that choice. Because there's an autosave. Because after you make that choice, there's a fight you have to do, and it saves at the start of that fight. And that is one of the most fucking infuriating things. I'm like, I'd rather just cheese this and do it just the ending three times real quick and then play through the game, because you also have to play it on the hardest difficulty.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not relishing that, because combat on the easiest difficulty is already... It can be very, very difficult. So...
Now the game is sitting at $30. What do you think?
If you like stealth games, it's not terrible. I would wait for a sale. I don't think it's a bad game, but if you're really into stealth games, there are a lot better stealth games. And the combat in this game is kind of terrible. So I say wait for a sale. I think it's a decent game, but unless you're a stealth gamer, this isn't going to be up your boat. Yeah, I don't know what I was trying to say.
Hey, works for me.
Your boat up your
alley.
Alley. That's I was mixing the two of them.
Up your boat.
Yeah.
Hey, so you're not the sharpest bulb in the toolbox. So
I usually say you're not the sharpest tool in the crown box. but you're the only one in it, so
yay. All right, absolutely. We got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Lumote, The Master Mote Chronicles, developed by Luminosum Games, published by Wired Productions, released April 21st on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Squish, bop, and bounce through the world around you. Lumote is extremely curious, highly inquisitive, and adorable. You might start the game for the puzzles, but you'll stay for the beyond cute Lumote, who manages to deliver an emotional connection to players through nonverbal expressions. Aki, what's going on in Lumote?
Yeah, before I go with this, I'm just going to point out, as Timber said, Styx is a great stealth game. I really liked it. Go play that. That is the first one. The second one's a broken fuck, and the devs know it and didn't care, so fuck them. But Styx 1 is great. Anyways, Lumote. in Lumote, you play this jellyfish thingy? Not exactly what the fuck you actually are in it. But you cause things to light up because you're lit up and adorable, and it's a puzzle game and it's not easy. Basically what you're trying to do in each level is get battery pack like creatures. God, that sounds so weird now that I'm actually saying it. Onto these little areas that suck power out of them. Basically, in perpetuity, it seems. And when you get them all onto these areas, it opens up a gate for you to continue on to the next area. That sounds so weird.
It sounds like Minecraft meets a puzzle game.
It is significantly more a puzzle game than Minecraft.
I'm just going on what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, it is very blocky looking. I will definitely give it that. That, I assume, is what you're getting the Minecraft stuff from, is how blocky it is. Everything in here is blocky.
Your face is blocky. Sick burn. Gotcha.
My soul. Jesus. But this game looks like it was for kids, and I was expecting a really chill, easy, fast time with this. I'm still in like world one, I think. There's three of them. There's three worlds you have to get to. And in one of them, you play as the bad Lumote. Because at first you're playing the blue Lumote, who's trying to bring blue back to the world because it's all red. I don't understand. And you get to the bad Lumote. And then you take charge of the red Lumote, apparently bringing red back to the world because fuck the blue guy. I don't really quite get it. And I assume that's probably just what tier three is, but I'm still in one because it's so fucking hard. And there's an achievement for beating this game in like under an hour and 15 minutes. And
geez,
I've spent over 45 minutes just in tier one, and I'm still not done with it.
So it's a speedrunner's game.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know how speedrunners are even going to do this, to be honest, until they find some strats where you can just jump off of something and skip like five fucking levels at a time.
Yeah, that's what speedrunners do. They figure out shit like that.
Once they figure that out, hook me up, guys. I need those strats like bad. Otherwise, this game is very logic-based. You have to be like, okay, you set this here, and this causes this thing to move in this direction, back and forth, okay. Then you have to set this other thing here to get it to move in a different way. But now you have to pick up this other thing and put it on it without stopping it, so it can go over here, and that will activate this, and you have to push something across this and drop it off of there, and it's very complicated very quickly because you have to get all this shit lined up or you're just wasting a ton of fucking time. And that's what I found I was doing on a pretty fucking regular basis. I probably sat there for like 20-something minutes just trying to figure out one puzzle, and I was like, I know I am so close to getting this, but there is something missing. It isn't easy. It looks cute and it looks simple, and it fucking isn't at all. But it's super cute. Super cute. I'll give it that.
Well, $20. What do you say?
The people this is gonna, you know, be there for or puzzle people, and they're gonna love it because this is all logic puzzle. This is what puzzle people are for. So if you like puzzles, this is it. If you're like, oh, I want to get this for my kid, you're an asshole. Don't do that. Just don't. They'll never beat this. That's so mean. But yeah, I'm for it. I think it was cute. I'm good.
Cool. All right, well, we made it through this episode. Done with this one. I tried talking as good as I could. My jaw is killing me. Like, holy shit, this is hard to do.
Yeah, it was weird. Back before you actually started the podcast, you sounded better just in the call with us than you did when you actually started the podcast.
Because I've been talking, well, saying S-words doesn't help matters, but...
No.
Yeah, this shit's hard to do, so I'm doing what I can. Hopefully I get used to talking like this. If not, we'll just fucking end the show. Fuck it. I'm done.
Yeah, you'll eventually get used to it. It's just like having a fucking retainer.
I'll just have to take my teeth out every time I want to do a show. Yeah,
pretty much, man. That's what I do, so fuck it.
All right, well, thank you for being here, hanging out. Thanks to Jacob for coming on and bringing his wife along to deal with our harassment and insanity. And thanks to Steve-O for coming on, chatting about porn and Senran Kagura.
Babies!
We'll play something from Steve-O for the music tonight. So, do you have any final words to end the show?
No, I'm good.